This morning, one of the topics which I want to speak to you is on baptism. And for the past 2 years, I have not heard anyone speak on baptism. Probably there was no need to speak on the topic. But maybe before we came, somebody would have spoken this. But I thought this morning, I've chosen this topic of baptism. And it's a time of reflection because it closely ties with the breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper as we have participated, these similarities in baptism that I need to bring out some of the thoughts from there. And also share some of the experiences we had in Fiji in baptism. I will be referring to verses from the Word of God in different books of the Bible, and we'll just go through it as we come to it. I would like to suggest that baptism actually comes from the Greek word baptizo, and there's a root word called bapto, B-A-P-T-O. The concept the Greeks used this word was in the first century when they made garments. They made garments, then with that garments they had to actually bleach the garment first, and in the process of bleaching it takes away dirt and so forth, and then after bleaching then they can dye that particular garment according to the color they want. And so this was practiced in the first century by the Greeks, and the exact word is baptizo or bapto, meaning baptism, that has been adopted in our language. And there again we can see the reference of baptism, as we see as these garments are bleached, they are cleansed, and that can be referred to as repentance in terms of baptism, the cleansing of the sins and so forth. And then when they are put into the dye and then raised up again, it gives a new color, and that's a new life. So that's a similarity, and indeed the Greek was really precise translation to baptism to this very day. This is just the background to think about this particular word, baptism, which has been adopted from the Greek word baptizo and or bapto. There's certain church philosophies that has come over the years. I know theologians have argued and so forth about the forms of baptism that should be practiced in churches. And I suppose that different churches with different denominations would practice baptism in different ways. And some of the ways of baptism in churches, they believe in sprinkling. And others believe in immersion, totally going into the water and coming up. And some philosophies believe that baptism can be done later. It's not an urgent issue. You still can come to church. You don't need to be baptized. They believe in that. Some churches believe that people need to grow and mature before we can offer baptism to that. And then some churches say that before you join our church, you must be baptized. Sorry. And then the other churches also believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit alone and not in the baptism of water. So there has been a lot of teaching around this word baptism, and different church philosophies has come up with different ideas. But personally, I would like to ask as to why people delay or do not baptize. You know, why people delay it? I think the first part would be of ignorance, that they are totally ignoring the biblical interpretation or biblical instructions of baptism, because we'll be referring to the Word of God and we'll be able to see that the Word of God is very clear regarding baptism. And the very fact that maybe the church did not preach, or the church is teaching a different version of baptism, that's why there's no urgency, there's no need for baptism. The other aspect is indifference and pride. Probably people do not want to go into that water and come out again. It's a sense of indifference. They would not believe in that. The other thing is that rebellion. They might say, you know, we don't need to be baptized these days. They don't believe in that. And then lastly, I would say why people delay or do not baptize is because of the fear of the public. You know, baptism is usually done in baptistries like this. We have one here. And back home in Fiji, most of our assemblies, the gospel assemblies, they don't have baptistries. There are few of them. And sometimes if there is one or two to be baptized from one assembly, we would go and have a combined service and have a baptism there. But if there is about 15 or 16 people to be baptized, that's when we had in our last baptism before we went to Hong Kong. We usually go down to the beach, the Coral Coast Christian Camp, which is down at the beach. And it's a public beach, and it's a wonderful occasion. We take either one or two buses of 60 or 70 people. We'll all go down there. We'll have our worship there. And then we'll go down to the beach and we'll have a baptism. And that is what I mean by public, you know. People who are in the beach, they are looking. What are these mad people doing, you know? Going in the water and rising up. You know, all races of people out there on the beach, and they can see you, and you're publicly doing this. And I remember that day, 17 people went into baptism, and out of that 17, when we said, if there's anyone else, 6 other people from our assembly, they said, we also would like to be baptized. So, you know, I mean, there shouldn't be any delays or, you know, it's a conviction, and this is according to the Word of God, why baptism should be done. Now, why believers or Christians need to be baptized? That is my third sort of subtopic. And for that I would refer to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 15, and few others. Why believers or Christians, why is it necessary to be baptized? And this is the account of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I believe that he is the authority that he has given. First of all, he set an example in Matthew chapter 3. If you look at Matthew chapter 3, when he first appeared and when he saw John the Baptist baptizing, and verse 13 reads, and Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized. Even John had actually, he was baptizing, but he expressed the need to be baptized. And then, by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. In verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment the heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. A voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. So we can see the account here that Jesus also sets an example here, that he went through the process of baptism. So he set the example there for us to follow. And the very fact that in verse 16 it says Jesus was baptized and he went up out of the water immediately suggests that he went under the water and he was raised up. And we know of the very fact that it was a river Jordan. It was not a baptistry, it was a river Jordan, and the water, there was sufficient water to make a person go under the water. So the first point, why believers must be baptized, is the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ set an example for us. The second and a very important reason, it's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that same book towards the end, the Gospel of Matthew towards the end, you remember the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said in verse 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 28. He said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So here again, the Lord Jesus Christ specifically mentions about baptism, that you go and teach and preach, make disciples, besides making disciples, baptizing them. And also he has given us a format of baptism, that it has to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in the, there is a second reason, and I believe that is very important, that this is a command which came not from any disciples, not from any person, not from any church or theologians, but the very fact, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his command, go and preach, teach and baptize. Make disciples and baptize them. We also can see several examples in John 4 that the Lord Jesus Christ very much supported or endorsed the fact of baptism. You remember that as he was traveling with his disciples, in John chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2, it says here, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee." So that's what we see, that the Pharisees actually saw the very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ there was with his disciples, and he was supporting baptism as his disciples were baptizing the early converts that were placing their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the third factor as to why believers should baptize. And the fourth, there's so many examples, but I've just chosen very few. In the Acts, the Gospel of the Acts, we see the story of Saul. We know how Saul was, Paul, Saul was persecuting the Christians. He was the main instrument behind the killings of the early disciples and so forth. And we know how he was struck down on that road to Damascus, and that he became blind. In Acts chapter 9, verse 17 to 19,